And good afternoon, Tracy Morgan, in with you, of course, with your extended news at noon. And so, as promised yesterday, when we talked to Dave Mullarkey, we have Kate on today. Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Tracy, how are you doing?
Good. Can we do coffee at Kate at this late hour of the morning? I guess we're into afternoon at this point.
Hey, I brought my Negley's coffee with me, and I am in Richmond, Virginia.
Did you travel? Okay.
I did travel for the very first time since March 1st.
Yeah. I mean, you've really stayed home, so how was that, first of all, to get out of the house beyond Butler County?
To be truthful, Tracy, I was very, anxious about it.
Okay.
I was anxious about traveling, number one, and then anxious about finding places where I felt safe enough to stop for restroom breaks, gas, the whole, because it's a 7.5 hour trip.
Right, right. And you went by car, I assume? You drove?
I drove.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's no direct flights from Pittsburgh to Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
But even if there were, I'm not sure I would fly anyway.
Okay.
With this pandemic that we've all been going through for, seems like years.
I know, doesn't it?
Hasn't been years. But
doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I got things in place for my husband at home and took the venture out and never got here till 7:30 last evening. In a torrential downstorm on Interstate 95, which is never fun to drive anyway, but there was two accidents, and so I was sitting there for an extra half hour.
Right.
So it was a little bit nerve-wracking, the whole trip.
So when you said that you had to be picky or you wanted to be picky about where you stopped, were all the restrooms open? I know you didn't stop at all of them, but the ones that you stopped at, were they open? You didn't have any closures that you had to deal with when it came to the facilities?
No, not that I was aware of.
Okay.
But my son gave me some advice, and I very much heeded what he told me to do, and I actually brought, of course, my masks, my spray, my hand sanitizer, and each and every time that I had to stop, I went through this ritual before I went into the facility, and then, you know, proper hand washing, and for probably extra time than what was needed, and I didn't buy food out either. I brought my own food so that I didn't have to stand in any lines or... So it was an interesting trip, but very... And it gives you certainly a lot of time to think, and listening to different broadcast stations, because I'm a news junkie, so I'm always finding various stations, and then you get the Washington, D.C. Beltway stations down here. So that's always interesting to listen to.
Is it a different is it a different feel? Is there a different perspective, or do you have perspectives all over the place? And I ask that. I was just in this conversation yesterday with somebody, and their children are throughout the country. And so they always try to check up on what the news is in those parts of the country just because their kids are there.
Right.
We had this same conversation where it was interesting in what that person was finding and just the many, many different perspectives that were out there.
Very much so. And, of course, Richmond, Virginia is at the center of the, because they were always listed, you know, as the capital of the Confederacy.
Oh, okay.
And,
yes.
Yeah, and so there's lots of action down here. My daughter doesn't live directly right in the city of Richmond. She's in the suburbs. But there's lots of signs, lots of people willing to voice their opinions and expressions. And, yeah, it's very... And all I could... What came to mind yesterday was... My father, who was 30-year military and government service, during the Watergate explosion.
Yeah.
I was with my parents in Washington, D.C., because my dad had to be down there.
So you were living there at the time?
We weren't living here, but we were down here.
Okay.
When all the news was breaking.
Okay.
In the papers. And I remember being in the hotel room with my mom, and we bought every newspaper we could buy and pouring over the articles of actually what was coming down and what was happening at the time. And it has that same feel to me down here now with everything that's going on with statues coming down and people peacefully protesting against what's been going on for so long in this country. So, yeah, it offers a different perspective, an interesting perspective, a sad perspective. But, hey, I'm here with my baby, and I couldn't be happier.
Do you find that getting through all of the news is more difficult now than it used to be? And I ask it this way because of the conversation that's out there that, you know, the news has been, you know, not in favor with many people. We'll just put it that way. And with us working in the news, you know, I mean, I have a different perspective, and I can only speak from my shoes, but I don't remember when I started in this industry that everything seemed to be lumped into the same category. Now, I may be wrong in that, but when I'd go to the grocery store as a kid, you knew who were the tabloids, and you knew who you went to for your reputable news. And now that we have social media like it is, and just everybody and anybody's posting, I think that it's harder for individuals to know who are your reputable people and who are the people who just decided to put something online.
Very much so. Very much so. And of course, we all have our favorite news broadcasters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You being one of my favorite, Tracy.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And I mean that sincerely.
And I say thank you sincerely, too. I know we work with each other, but I guess that the reason I just said what I said is because there, you know, again, the conversation can turn very negative with news people, but there are a lot of people that I know that I've worked with in this industry, including you and this station. I've worked with other stations, and I don't see that viewpoint that we just want to get information to the people. That's what I see, is the people that I've worked with, we just want to get the information to the people. Now, I think that there are people who are very positive for industries, and there are people who are very negative for industries in any industry that's out there. It doesn't, to me, I don't care what the industry is. You're going to have the positives, you're going to have the negatives. So I'm not saying that all news people are angels. I'm just saying the people that I've worked with and the perspective I've seen is that we just want to get information to people.
Right, and make sure that it's correct and factual.
Right, right.
And there are sensationalists out there,
mm-hmm,
that will take anything and blow it up even bigger.
Right, right.
But the news is so sad right now, from all angles, that you have to search to find really good news. But there is good news out there.
There is
mm-hmm, good news. There is. And
we find some in our own backyard. We do have good news stories, but again, just working in the industry so long, I think that the negative news, people gravitate towards that, and that stirs up so much emotion that I think sometimes the good news gets lost.
Agree. But and with that being said, hearing people's viewpoints and what the entertainment industry, number one, and I say entertainment because news anymore and entertainment have all been combined into almost a big lump category. you have your factual news that you depend on to get the true story.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have all these other news outlets that are coming out with things that's like, wait, is that true? I mean, and yet you still listen to them to get kind of a perspective of where they're coming from.
Yeah, and I think a change that I've seen is that you knew when the nightly news used to be on. You know, I mean, it still is. I'm just saying that, you know, when you came home from work, if you will, the nightly news was the nightly news, and that's your news. Now we've gravitated towards opinion shows, and that's fine. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying that there are opinion shows out there that I'm wondering how many people hear the opinion shows and say, well, that's the definite news. You know, like, I'm wondering where I'm just curious from a professional point of view on where the confusion is.
Well, there's lots of confusion, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid growing up, and we had one source that we depended on solely, and that was Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
Who just got out there. He never reported it with an opinion. He just reported the facts continually.
Right.
At least that was from my perspective. And so you could rely on whatever Walter Cronkite said. That was pretty much true. Again, and I've lived through a lot of turmoil. I'll never forget. And it was 1968, which is what stands out to me. Because we had a hippie movement going on, which I was a part of. We marched for many, many rights, including women's rights. But 1968 was such a turbulent year. And I hearken back to the Chicago Democratic Convention. The riots and the burning and the protests and the, it was unbelievable. And that was the first time on national TV that you were seeing things that you had never seen before. And it left an indelible impression on many, many young minds, including mine.
So, Kate, let me ask you then, from what you've been through to now, do you feel now that we're going through what we are, do you feel a sense of, in a way that you're saying to yourself, okay, I've been here before. I know things are a little different or greatly different, and I don't know, are they different or not? You know, or are you feeling like, well, this is new, like this has a new feel to it that we haven't been through this kind of stuff before?
This has a new feel to it.
Okay.
To me. But maybe it's my deep emotions, too. I feel that all people are equal, and you and I have discussed this before, that we were all born as the human race, not red, yellow, black, and white. That all people should be treated equal. And that just doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. And it needs to change. If it ever will change, I don't know. I hope it does. And I'm seeing signs that people are coming together for a common cause, which I hope takes over even more so. But it's never going to be utopia for sure. It just never will be. I don't think. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I pray to God every night that I'm wrong. But that's the way it should be. We should all be kind to one another and love one another, and it just doesn't happen.
Did you feel in the many years before, we'll just say in the past year, just to give that generalized time, as we were leading up to this past year, did you feel like there was change, there was progression, even though it was baby steps? And again, you and I can only speak through our own perspectives. We can't speak for other people. But did you have a sense that things were progressing, but then we turn around with the past year, and was there a sense of, wow, there hasn't been much change at all?
Yes, I did feel that it was progressing in a good way. But I didn't know about so many things. And now that I do know about it, I'm saddened. But, and I also want to put out there that I'm so very, very proud to be the aunt of a Pennsylvania State Trooper. And everything that these guys have had to endure, that their training, number one, at the academies is unbelievably brutal. The things that they go through and endure, because they have to. It's almost like training for war, because in some instances, that's exactly what they encounter. So the training has to go on, but I think what they've missed, and this is strictly my opinion, is they forgot to include the kindness training also, because that goes a long way also. But these guys are in danger every, and gals, every day of their life, at being shot. You know, they say that when guns get involved, whether you're on one side or the other, the fact that there are guns out there changes the whole scenario. So I think there needs to be, along with the defensive training, the combat training, there needs to be kindness and empathy training. And maybe that's been missing all this time.
I know it feels like I'm going to go on a 90-degree turn on you, but I have to come back to say, listening to you, that's why I can only speak from my vantage point. But I love what I've done, we do in broadcasting, because what you're talking about, I find intriguing with finding out individual stories. Because I think communication is key. Communication is key to understanding. Communication is key to just resolving problems and issues. But you have to be able to talk with each other and hear each other and listen to each other. Not agree. I mean, you know, you may like red, I may like blue. You know, we don't have to agree. But
exactly.
If we have a conversation about it, then you find out more information. And when you're talking about what you are there, I'm imagining an individual in so many different roles. So what is it like to be you? You know, if you're an officer, what is it like to be you? You know, if you're in either side of this conflict that we have right now, what is it like to be you? What brought you to the point of where you are today? And that's where I think broadcasting and radio in particular can bring those stories to light whenever we have an opportunity to be able to share those.
And I think that's what we should start doing. Let's bring some state troopers on and let's talk with them and see where they're coming from and if they're willing to do it. Let's do this, because people do need to understand. I see where the, and people, this is a very sensitive subject to a lot of people, but the NFL has done an about face. I don't know if you've read any of those stories, or the NFL has come out now and said, we were kind of wrong. We didn't respect what someone was trying to tell us. We didn't listen. So maybe if we turn things around now and go back and look, and maybe we can resolve some things on a higher level where we have a lot of fans, where they can see that, hey, we're turning this around to maybe make an impact so that people understand that what they were trying to say in a peaceful way mattered, instead of calling it something that it wasn't. You know, Colin Kaepernick was really, really shoved down into the mud because of his stance on brutality to young black men and what was going on. And did we know it was there? I don't think we knew it was there to the degree that it was. But he was not disrespecting the flag. when he took a knee. He was just trying to use his platform to get a message out there. And people turned it against him instead of seeing it for what it really was. This is my perception.
Yeah, and I know that there are so many people that have so many other perceptions because, you know, of course, a lot of people would say, but you stand for the flag. You know, you stand for the flag, you honor the flag, and that's what you do. But
exactly.
And, but your point is well taken in the way of there was just a different perspective there. Again, that's where a lot of people don't agree. But I don't know. It's a big conversation, and I hate to say, Kate, I'm looking at the time. We're running out of it, but I'm looking at the time as you're talking,
well,
and we are running out of it.
Yeah, so. Let me say this one thing. And again, being raised by my father, 30-year military, deep respect for the flag, deep respect for our country, deep respect for everyone, but everyone should include all races, regardless.
So let me ask you really quickly before I do let you go, how is your family doing?
My family is doing very well. Our baby is just so beautiful. In fact, his mama told him yesterday that I was coming. I didn't get here in the fashionable time that I wanted to get here. So he was kind of waiting, and wouldn't take a nap.
Oh.
So when I walked in, and of course, we go through a ritual. All your clothes go into the washing machine. You shower off quickly. You wash up. You put clean clothes on so that I could hold him. So by the time I get my hands on him, he takes one look at me. He's smiling at me from ear to ear and falls asleep.
Oh, my. Finally took the nap when you got there.
Yeah, it's like, no, don't go to sleep yet.
But I think that's a compliment to you because he feels safe and comfortable. You know, when you're in that safe and comfortable arm, not that, you know, he doesn't feel that all the time. It's just, yeah, he was looking forward to it and decided to take a nap.
Well, my biggest fear because of his condition and everything was that he wouldn't know me.
Oh, okay.
But by God, he took one look at me and got a big smile and fell asleep.
Oh, how cute. Now, how old is he now?
He is 3 and a half.
Okay, 3 and a half. Well, that's good.
But they've been in quarantine just like the whole world. And so I couldn't come down. I haven't been here since March 1st. And I simply was going through Nicholas withdrawals severely. And my daughter, too. My daughter goes, I still matter, right?
I know. Yes, the grandkids come, and all of a sudden the sons and daughters are second fiddle.
Yeah.
Second
fiddle. Right.
That's great. Well, Kate, it was nice to talk to you. I appreciate you taking the time, even though you're visiting. And I'll let you get back to your family, and we'll hopefully get to see you soon.
Yes, I hope so.
All right. Kate.
It was good talking to you, Tracy. Stay safe.
You too. You have a great day.
You too.